that consciousness before number is born. You can see the difficulties that would exist. How in preparing a meal would you be able to know when you had set out enough items? You know no number. You don't know whether it is six or seven or something else. The only thing you can do is to set up one-to-one correlation between one class and another. And the very first class consists of the fingers. The fingers of both hands, and therefore, and for that reason alone, we have the decimal system. Now, this existed before a word for number was born. I'll set it down here. Now, when we came to the time when the fingers were not enough, we were moving our herd of sheep. Let us say there were 37 sheep or any other number that you could not count on the fingers of the hand. You could not set up a one-to-one correlation. One very convenient device would be to pick up a number of pebbles and carry them in a bag. And you establish, you set off one sheep, you put down one pebble, and then you get another sheep, you put down another pebble, and you go on around until you have a bunch of pebbles here that sets off a one-to-one correlation with the sheep. You put those in the bag. And if after the day of pasturing you return, you set up the one-to-one correlation, and you have one pebble left over, you know one sheep is out there. One sheep may have been eaten by an enemy, or at least lost. But without those pebbles, you couldn't know that you hadn't all of your sheep. That method of counting isn't so old, so long ago. The Romans used it. And hence we have the word calculus, which means stone. By the way, when I mention that word, if you're a doctor, you probably think of something quite nasty inside the human being. But if you're a mathematician, you think of that great instrument of calculation developed by Sir Isaac Newton and Leibniz. The instrument that enables us to deal with motion by use of notions that are infinitely small. But the only reason why the word calculus, meaning stone, comes to have that name and is also the root form of calculate is because back someday among the Latin speaking people, they set up their correlation with pebbles. So that is not so long ago. Now the modern mathematical logician defines number in relation to this primary process, which we can trace back to the infant and the primitive. It is a one-to-one reciprocal correlation between two classes. Now, if you have a class C, which we may call the fingers, or our bag of stone, and you correlate those with other classes, such as pictures on the wall, so that there's a one-to-one reciprocal correlation between them. One with other objects like books, like trees, like human beings, like stars, rivers, whatnot, ideas, objects of art, so on. So that there is a one-to-one reciprocal correlation between the class C and these various other classes. There's no more in one than there is in the other. Then number emerges as the symbol of that class C. Now that step of number emerging, and then of writing signs in the earth, on rocks, later upon papyrus, upon our paper, that mean those symbols, represents a conquest in abstraction that called for genius. We do not know how long a time, how many centuries were required for this stage in evolution. We know that even after the notion of number had emerged as a definite concept and they were writing it, it took quite a long time before we evolved a scientific method of notation. Perhaps few of you appreciate what a service our scientific notation is to you. But let me suggest to those of you who keep books, how would you handle your additions, your multiplications, and divisions if you used the Roman method of notation, let alone calculating your income tax? Actually, it took great experts to handle calculations in that form of notation. Bookkeeping was almost a job for a genius. Once the idea of symbols, a limited number of them, we use 10, 0, 1 on up to 9, with a periodic recurrence, that which is known as an Arabic notation, gave us a real command of number. It doesn't have to be decimal. It could break and has broken upon other numbers, like number 12. There was one people that broke on the number 60. One very interesting form is to break upon the number 2. You use only two symbols, 0 and 1. A straight line. Actually, that biennial system is the one that's used in the calculating machine. So it proves to be the most scientific of all. At last, we have reached the point where number has emerged, and we have a proper garb for it, so we are free to act. We have seen command in our world, running through the whole of science, through the whole of our industry, through the whole of our finance, and even involving our domestic accounting, that's rendered possible because of this emergence of numbers. No. Starting at the foundation, which was so simple, we're preparing ourselves for an experience in soaring. We are not going to depart from the logical principle which the infant unconsciously employs. This is something that's grounded down into the very roots of our consciousness and of nature itself. But it is going to lead to a vast elaboration of structure before we are through. We propose to enter in, ultimately, the domain of the infinite. But in order to make that infinite more than just a word, first, let us explore something of the meaning of the word finite. Many people use the word infinite in a loose, entirely improper sense. There were poets back in the classical days who spoke of the infinity of the stars. Mind you, this was before telescopes. The stars that could be seen were the only stars that could be meant, and there were only 3,000 of them. For those poets, 3,000 was infinity. How many of you, when you use the word infinity, really mean infinity? How many of you merely mean a big number? A big number is not infinity any more than one is infinity. But we've got to come acquainted first with something of the meaning, of the larger meaning of finite, before we can sail out into the illimitable sea and not do so wildly. Now, our universe is believed to be finite for certain definite reasons. One of them is that if there was an infinity of stars, it can be proven that the whole sky would be as bright as the sun is. And for another reason, the theory of relativity, which is the best integrating conception of what we know today, definitely delimits the universe to a finite universe. It is possible to come to some estimate as to the diameter of that universe. While it is a complex notion of finiteness, for a first approximation, we'll think of it as a sphere, a certain distance across, not saying or not meaning that it is literally such a sphere. And based upon the theory of Einstein, it is possible to state a good many facts or a good many things that are implied by this theory concerning this universe. One of the problems which Eddington tackled was accounting of all the protons in the galactic universe. I don't mean that he took a spaceship out there and set up a one-to-one correlation with his fingers over the stone. He calculated it indirectly. And now, Peter and Joe, if you'll take down this. I'll show you the number of photons in the universe. Not one more, not one less, according to Eddington. 136 times 2 to the power 256, which when written out is this number up here, down to here. 80 places. Now you can challenge that number in one way, by devising a theory that is more successful in explaining the facts of the universe than Einstein's theory. And if you can do that, you are good. I don't know how you would name this number. It can be written in this short way. That means exactly this. Some time ago, some mathematicians were making experiments with kindergarten children. And in a very short time, though the children at that came with only an understanding of numbers up to 100, they were able to expand their consciousness to certain very big numbers. Numbers bigger than a good many non-mathematical scientists are able to comprehend. The point is that this understanding is latent or innate, and it can be guided to articulation or apprehension even in the kindergarten child. One of the kindergarten children wrote down 1 with 100 zeros after it. And a 9-year-old boy christened it the Google. I've written down the Google 10 to 100, and here written out in the long way with all of these zeros. You can count them if you see if I'm missing any or not. That goes to 100 zeros, and this number, 80 places, but if it were written with 1 with zeros after it, it'd be 79 zeros. This number has 21 zeros more in it than a number of that order. That means it's 10 to the 21 times as big as a number representing all the protons in the galactic universe. I have to say 10 to the 21 because I don't know whether it's probably septillions or octillions. Have to figure that out. Easier to say 10 to the 21 times. That means it's not a billion times bigger. It's not a trillion times bigger. See, a billion would be only 9 zeros, a trillion 12 zeros, quadrillion 15 zeros, a quintillion 18 zeros, a sextillion 21 zeros. In other words, it's a sextillion times larger than this number that represents, according to Eddington, the number of protons in the universe. But it's a finite number. It is not infinite. Not any closer to being infinite than the number one is. Now here's where we're going to have some real. The 9-year-old boy gave a name, Googleplex, to the number 10 raised to the Google power. That's 10 to the 10 to the 100. Now we're going to see how many zeros there would be in that Googleplex. Now you're going to get a real expansion. No measly 100 zeros which you can write down in a few minutes. We're going to find out how much space it's going to take to write down that number. Let us assume that we have an unlimited supply of ticker tape, and that we start writing on it with zeros quarter of an inch across. Now, I'd like to have some estimates as to how long that ticker tape would have to be to write that number. Now, you've given us some estimates.
About a million light years.
A million light years. All right, that's an interesting estimate. All right. 10 to the 6 light years. Any other buddy else have any ideas on it? If you think he's too fantastic, tone it down a bit. What would be your estimate? I have no idea about it. Now, how long would this tape have to be? You. Now you're going off the deep end. That's just the thing we're guiding against. We're dealing with a finite number.
When you can multiply like that, you run into numbers.
You do run into a lot of numbers, but now we're going to keep definiteness as far as we can. We're only going off into the indeterminate when we have to. See, this is our expansion here. What did you think? Come on, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to be fantastic now.
I would bring it down to 50 miles.
50 miles, all right. Anyone else estimate? Around the earth, that's 25,000 miles. Twice? All right, that's in the same order. Two times. Anyone else? Anyone else want to hazard his...
Close to
here,
the sun.
As far as the sun?
Yes.
92 million miles. Joe is giving a bigger number than that, though.
Yeah.
Let's see, 92 times 10 to the 6. Miles. Want to try your luck, Doctor? Anyone else? Now let's see what your intuitions or sense of mathematical quantity is. No one else? You would what? It has as many zeros as the value of this number, Google. See, Google has 100 zeros, but the quantity represented by that is the number of zeros that the Googleplex has. Well, now, anybody who wants to be wild and fantastic, whether he believes in it or not, believes that his answer is real, give us an estimate. Let's see how far you can jump in fantasy now.
How far up can you go?
Any distance. Any distance that you can name. The limits of the finite universe. Estimates seem to run on the order of 3 billion light years. Three times... 10 to the 9th light years. You really believe it? Well, as a matter of fact, you're the only individual who's sufficiently warm to get a little bit less cold than Absolute Zero. Joe, is lifting up a little with Joe? All right, now we're going to show you what that'll take. Let's turn this around. I figure it out at a quarter of an inch to the zero. $253,440 zeros in a mile. 47 billion odd in a light second. Billions, trillions, quadrillions. 1 quintillion plus in a light year. And in 3,000 light years, at 3, 10, 9, we get this number, which has 27 places past the first four. Let us give the fellow credit who has been writing that and perhaps pinched his zeros a little bit and got a little more in, so we'll allow him credit for about 5 with a lot of zeros after it. Shove back across the universe, and you could raise that up to 10. That'd add 1 zero to it, you see. You would have 10 with 28 zeros after it, which you write that way. That's as far as we've gotten. But to get a googol of zeros, this is the number of zeros. We've got to get 10 to 100. And you've only got 10 to the 28 going across the galactic universe and back again. You get into this, you're going to swim. This is finite. Now, I keep emphasizing it. We're all in the finite domain. Now, let's see just about how much we'd have to do here. Let us suppose that we can make our tape as thin as Goldie and only a quarter inch wide, still keeping our zeros quarter inch in size. And you fold it back and forth in the galactic universe. And by that I don't mean our galaxy, the stars and so forth that we see, which is about 150,000 light years across and is composed, various estimates, running from 30 to 100 billion stars. I don't mean that. But out beyond that, perhaps a million light years or more, you get to other universes. And they keep on extending as far as our biggest telescopes can go for hundreds of millions of miles. And the total distance, suppose, across that whole galactic universe, you know, on the order of 3 billion light years. Now let us imagine that we can make our tape only a quarter of an inch across and as thin as Goldie. How much of that universe would we have to use, folding it back and forth, to get the whole number written down? Yes, you'd have to use all of it, and you couldn't get it all in. All right. Now, the only way we can get that number into our universe is in this. Now that some estimates have been made as to the number of electrons that could be packed into this universe if they were all packed tight. Now, the protons that are given in the other figure, which had only something like 80 digits, represent those that actually exist. And the distance between the protons and the electrons is simply enormous. But let us suppose we had electrons packed tight. Instead of being at planetary distances from each other as they are in our matter, even in our densest matter, suppose them tight together in certain stars, they approach that condition, and the weight of a piece of matter from such stars is such that a piece the size of a pea would weigh a ton. Well, or if we took the matter that's in one of our human bodies, were to compress it so that all of the electrons and protons were tight together instead of distances between them, there'd be just about enough matter in one of our bodies to make a fly speck. Now then, if the electrons were packed like that, packed so close that the matter of a human body would make about a fly speck, throughout the entire galactic system, the estimated number of them is 10 to the 110 power. That's a number with 101 with 110 zeros after. In other words, a number that's 10 billion times as big as our Google. This 10 has the effect of making it 10 billion times as big as the Google. Well, now it's quite clear from that if we made our zeros as small as electrons, we wouldn't need all of the galactic universe for writing our number. We could make our zeros a little larger. We couldn't make them as large as atoms. The size would come somewhere intermediate between an atom and an electron. And then, with those little objects, we could take a very good engraver to make. You could write out that number by using the whole galactic universe. And that's a finite number. Finite. If we're going to get on to the meaning of the symbol for the holistic that has been suggested, its vastitude, this magnitude in the end must become so insignificant that it would scarcely make a watch pop. You've got to be able not to swim off the deep end with mere bigness. By finite numbers, we may say we represent the possibility of all evolution. But in evolution developing throughout any finite time, however large, could not possibly exhaust finitude. We're seeking to transcend finitude at conception. Now, working with mere bigness is laborious, so forth. Using our techniques, it's not too difficult. Question arises, how are we going to transcend mere bigness? Oh, by the way, before we leave the big numbers, while this number, the Googolplex, is very large, there is one number still larger that has use. It's known as Q's number, and has something to do with the distribution of primes. It's written this way. It looks quite innocent. That's enormously greater than that Googolplex we've been talking about. It has been estimated or calculated rather, by Hardy, an English mathematician, that if the universe were a vast chessboard and the chessmen were the protons in it, and you counted every interchange of protons a move, the total of all possible interchanges that could exist would be represented by this number. Head swimming? That number has use, even bigger than the Googolplex. It's still finite.